Welcome to the Smart Weight Loss Coaching Podcast. I'm Dr. Lisa Olson, a board-certified weight loss medicine specialist and certified life coach. In this podcast, I'll share fresh insights and effective techniques for incorporating mindset, habit change, and proven science into your life. Are you ready to achieve sustainable weight loss, wellness, and longevity? Then let's jump in and lose weight the smart way. Welcome back. When my kids were little, I'd create some fun for myself at the grocery store by using food terms that I love to hear them say back to me. One of my favorites was this: Mama, can we please have some American cheese-like product? It still makes me laugh. My point was that American cheese is barely even cheese at all. It's so full of chemicals that it's more accurate to call it a cheese-like product. And I thoroughly enjoyed when my kids thought that was the actual name of it. The ingredients included milk, salt, enzymes, and water, which is fine, but also sodium citrate, sodium phosphate, sorbic acid, annatto, which is a colorful cosmetic additive, and sunflower lecithin to keep the slices separated. Like I said, it's barely cheese. Today we're going to talk about dairy. When I was growing up, like many of you, I was taught that dairy should be fat-free, or as we called it back then, skim. In the 1970s and 80s, people started thinking about fats, especially saturated fats, like we find in cheese, as the worst thing you could consume for your health and weight. Dairy became suspect, and if we dared to eat or drink it, it was always fat-free. We weren't necessarily suffering with our skim milk, fat-free yogurt, and low-fat ice creams. We didn't know anything else. I certainly didn't. Fat phobia meant that food manufacturers had to find other ways to make our food taste good. Enter enormous amounts of sugar and ultra-processed chemicals. Believe me when I tell you that this swap was not beneficial for any of us. The avoidance of fat has been like a large ship that takes forever to turn in the ocean. But finally, we've come to understand that there are healthy types of fat that we want to seek out, like the fats found in salmon, avocados, extra virgin olive oil, seeds, and nuts. Unresolved for most people who are working toward healthy weight and longer health span is what to do about dairy, and particularly the saturated fats found in dairy products. Thankfully, that's our topic for today. From a nutrient perspective, keep in mind that when saturated fat is removed from dairy to create fat-free dairy, we start by losing vitamin A and vitamin D, among others. Let's break our analysis down into six categories to learn more about the impact of dairy on weight, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, including heart attack and stroke, cancer, bone fractures, and what we call all-cause mortality, which basically asks the question, are we more or less likely to die if we consume dairy products? I'm going to give you the answer to that. Since so many of you are working on weight loss, let's start with the impact of dairy on weight. A recent meta-analysis found that children in the highest dairy intake group were 38% less likely to have a diagnosis of overweight or obesity compared to those in the lowest dairy intake group. Why does this matter? Well, many of us have kids, and we know that the disease of obesity usually tracks from childhood into adulthood, meaning if you struggled with your weight as a kid, you'll likely continue to struggle throughout your life. By the way, when I quote data from a meta-analysis, this is a compilation of good quality data from multiple sources. Not just opinions, but rather data that's bundled from all of the relevant research. Now, instead of looking at just 100 or 1,000 people in a particular study, we can look at tens or hundreds of thousands of people to find correlations between dairy intake and health. So for kids, it's clear. When we pulled full-fat milk out of schools and instead offered low-fat plain and chocolate milk, we made a mistake. But that was a time when rules around school lunches required fat-free milk, despite new research to the contrary. I get it. After decades of consuming fat-free dairy, it took me a couple of years to believe what I was reading in the scientific literature about whole milk and full-fat yogurt. Eventually, I did make the switch, moving from 0% fat to 2% and up to whole milk and full-fat yogurt. Let's talk about adults, shall we? Dairy is helpful for weight loss, but the effect of dairy during maintenance of weight loss is less clear. Meta-analyses support that in adults, dairy products not only help with weight loss, but also improve body composition. That is, dairy reduces fat mass and preserves our lean muscle mass. So we lose fat and maintain our muscle, which is pretty awesome. Why does this happen? Well, dairy products are good sources of high-quality protein. Protein intake is important during weight loss and maintenance because it leaves us feeling full and satisfied. This helps to prevent overeating. Also, more muscle means a higher calorie burn, and dairy provides an abundance of amino acids that are used as building blocks to build and repair muscle. More muscle means more calories burned as you go about the business of your day. So we can say that including high-quality sources of dairy, like plain full-fat yogurt, aged cheeses, and so on, will help with weight loss in the short term, though in the long term, it's a bit more murky. In my practice, dairy seems to be weight neutral. No one gains weight when they make the switch from fat-free to whole milk in their coffee. And in my experience, having creamier milk or actual cream allows them to reduce or eliminate sugar, sweeteners, or other flavor enhancers. You've heard me say it many times before, but I'll say it again. If you're drinking Coffee Mate French Vanilla or Hazelnut Creamer, you're digging your own grave. Just stop that. It's killing you. If you must sweeten your coffee, use sugar for now, and we'll get you off that over time. Just get rid of the chemicals. Speaking of coffee, please read your labels on cream or half and half. If it says anything other than cream or milk and cream, don't use it. You don't need carrageenan, any gums like guar gum or xanthan gum, nor do you need soy lecithin or monoandiglycerides. Again, just stop consuming those chemicals. They're poisoning your dairy experience. I'm hoping to give you back the option of some cheese or some yogurt if you've been avoiding it, but let's do it the smart way. One last thing about full-fat dairy and weight in adults, the type of dairy matters. The best dairy outcomes for weight and diabetes risk are seen from yogurt and aged cheese, which might include aged Gouda, Manchego, Parmesan, and so on. Pre-shredded cheddar cheese will not confer the same benefits. Pre-shredded cheese contains antifungal mold inhibitors like natamycin, anti-caking agents like powdered cellulose, and food dyes to make the cheese look orange. Don't be fooled into thinking this ultra-processed kind of cheese is good for you. Quite the opposite. So please read the labels on cheese and avoid the pre-shredded, pre-sliced cheese that can sit in your fridge for months without becoming moldy. Moving on to type 2 diabetes and dairy. A recent meta-analysis on dairy intake and diabetes risk included 22 studies with a total of almost 600,000 participants. This also included 43,000 people with a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes. An inverse association between total dairy and yogurt intake and risk of type 2 diabetes was reported. That means the more total dairy and yogurt a person consumed, the lower the risk of type 2 diabetes. The benefits of fermented dairy products like aged cheese and yogurt may be due to their effect on our gut microbiome. These products support the healthy bacteria that naturally live in our intestinal tract, which is great for our overall health, as well as our weight and risk of diabetes. Other studies have identified that protein from milk and yogurt can reduce the sugar spikes that occur after eating in people who already have type 2 diabetes. Recently, the FDA said it's okay to say eating yogurt might prevent diabetes. Or to be precise, the approved language is eating yogurt regularly may reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes. Experts in the field of nutrition, weight, and diabetes are divided on this FDA decision. One thing's for sure, eating ultra-processed versions of yogurt with sweeteners, flavor enhancers, thickeners, or emulsifiers is more likely to harm your health and increase your risk of diabetes and obesity. So if you're thinking about food as medicine, think of plain yogurt topped with fresh fruit, seeds, and nuts. That sounds like a winning combination for a meal, a healthy snack, or a dessert. Jumping into cardiovascular health, several meta-analyses have found no consistent association between milk or dairy intake and cardiovascular disease, heart disease, or stroke. In a recent update, there was a significant inverse or opposite association between milk intake and stroke. Remember, an inverse association means higher milk intake was associated with a lower risk of stroke. Overall, the evidence indicates that a high intake of milk and dairy products equal to about one glass per day does not increase the risk of cardiovascular disease, and it lowers the risk of high blood pressure and stroke. Let me say that again another way, because this episode is intended to clear up the muddy waters around this topic. Dairy reduces your risk of high blood pressure and stroke, and it does not increase your risk for heart disease. Got it? Okay, time for osteoporosis and fracture rate. Broken bones in later life and dairy intake are related, which is probably not a surprise for you. This matters because there's a 20 to 30% chance of death in the year following a hip fracture. It's been estimated that 1 in 3 women and 1 in 12 men will have a hip fracture in their lifetime. So let's see what we can do to prevent that with dairy. Over 100,000 women with an average age of 48 years old at the start of the study were followed from 1980 to 2004 through the Nurses Health Study. Higher total dairy, milk, and cheese intakes were associated with lower risks of fracture in the study. Let's keep it as simple as that, and we'll do a deeper dive into osteoporosis in a future podcast. How about cancer and dairy? According to the World Cancer Research Fund and the latest meta-analysis, dairy products probably protect against colorectal cancer, bladder cancer, stomach cancer, and breast cancer. Dairy intake does not seem to be associated, either for better or for worse, with the risk of pancreatic, ovarian, or lung cancer. Gentlemen, the evidence for prostate cancer is inconsistent, but consider this. The benefit of the protective effect of milk and dairy on colorectal cancer is considered to outweigh a potential increased risk of prostate cancer. Now, let's consider dairy and its impact on overall mortality, meaning death. I'll cut to the chase and give you the quick answer. There is no association between consumption of milk and dairy products and all-cause mortality. Translated into plain English, on average, dairy neither extends nor shortens our lives. In food substitution analyses, where you swap out dairy for other foods, eating nuts, legumes, or whole grains instead of dairy was associated with a lower mortality, meaning you'd live longer. Whereas eating red and processed meat, like salami or hot dogs instead of dairy, was associated with higher mortality. So you might ask yourself, what kind of dairy, and also dairy instead of what? Dairy instead of plain walnuts? Not a win for longevity, but dairy instead of bacon? Definitely a win. Lastly, let's talk about cheese specifically, because so many of us love it. Cheese may reduce stroke and weight gain, specifically when replacing red meat in the diet. That said, the way we eat cheese makes a difference. For example, cheese is often added to pizza served on an ultra-processed crust. A dietary pattern high in fast foods or ultra-processed foods will have a negative health effect, regardless of the amount of cheese consumed. We're avoiding Cheese Whiz, Velveeta, sliced and shredded ultra-processed cheeses. So based on all of this, you might find it helpful to create an NBA, a next best action regarding dairy, based on your personal and family history. If you have a strong history of stroke in your family and you've been avoiding yogurt and cheese, you may decide to allow it or even encourage it. On the other hand, if you're a man with a strong family history of prostate cancer, you might be one of the few people for whom less dairy would be more helpful. For most of us, our NBA might involve allowing dairy again and choosing carefully, reading ingredient labels to get the healthiest versions of dairy that we can find. One last thing. If you'd like to take advantage of our early bird discount for our women's wellness retreat in November, you can find us on Instagram or Facebook at Lisa Olson MD or on TikTok at Smart Weight Loss Coaching. I'm also on LinkedIn at Lisa Olson. And if you'd like to be added to our mailing list, simply email us team@smartweightlosscoaching.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening. If you'd like more support during your smart weight loss journey, check out our group coaching program at smartweightlosscoaching.com. Until next time, stay well and stay smart.